Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters.
Tired. I know you're weak. I know you've been broken down, fighting defeat. We know that we will rise above this pain. We know that we will stand up with strength. Everything's gonna be alright.
Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your radio show host, Randy Fine. You know, I always bring you the very, very best that I can find in information. And today I have a really great guest today. Her name is Anne Baroque. And Anne healed herself of multiple sclerosis and now has been symptom-free for 22 years. So she brings her personal experience and 18 years of private practice to help you heal and recapture your vitality. Among her specialties are allergies, autoimmune diseases, and candida. Now, as a nutritional consultant, naturopath, educator, and award-winning author, also inspirational speaker, Anne Baroque is passionate about helping people realize that the body has an innate intelligence that allows it to heal itself. She is the author of the Candida Cure Cookbook, 248 pages filled with recipes, resources, and tips you need to take control of candida or yeast overgrowth. So today, Anne will be talking to us about the relationship between the candida fungus and mental illness. And since she is the expert, let's bring her on and get started. Good morning, Anne.
Hi. How are you? Hi. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, you are very, very welcome. Thank you for being my guest today. So can you give us a little bit of background about what all this, what happened to you and what brought you to this awareness?
Sure. I mean, I was really the poster child to crack on every level, which I did physiologically and psychologically. But I started out as a sugar addict and probably ate more sugar than 10 teenagers put together. I was on antibiotics and steroids and from colds and flus and had tubes in my ears by the time I was 7. And I had about 15, 16 silver fillings, amalgam fillings, by the time I was a teenager from all the sugar that I ate. And I was type A, so I was going a mile a minute. I had an intense childhood. Parents had divorced at 3. And it just, you know, all the variables that could come in were stacking. And at 18, I had had a bout of Epstein-Barr, which is the kissing disease, mono. And I didn't get better. I had seen, oh, my God, 8 different specialists. I was on more than 20 different medications, and I was toxic and dying. And I came across Dr. William Crook, who was the second MD to popularize Candida. His book was called The Yeast Connection, and that fell in my lap. And I took this questionnaire, and I realized I had all these symptoms, and I followed the protocol for a year of doing an anti-Candida diet, which meant no sugar and gluten, alcohol, and dairy. And I took a drug called Nilstat. It was actually a powder that was available, antifungal, and I got better. And I didn't realize, though, that once I got better, I needed to keep myself in check, particularly my gut, and we'll talk more about that. So I went back to my crazy ways, and at 24, I was sitting in a restaurant, and to you, it would look like a conscious epileptic attack. And I started to spasm and seize, and within 2 weeks of seeing the specialist, he said, the great news is you don't have cancer, you have multiple sclerosis, and we have chemotherapy, and get ready for the wheelchair. And I was suffering from those immune response attacks daily where I couldn't breathe, swallow, move, and I looked at my mother and I said, you know, I don't even know what this is, but I said, if I take this chemo, I'm not going to make it. And so I said, please support me in my journey. And we walked out of that office, or I hobbled, and it was a four-year, very tumultuous journey in which I survived a near-death experience and a suicide attempt and really cracked on every level. And it was, in the sense of putting myself back together, it was going back to an antifungal diet and antifungal medication, working on emotional mental layers, getting my 16 fillings removed, and minimal supplementation because I didn't know what I know now. But it was really a shamanic journey. It was really, you know, not only did I get better, but I realized what I was to do on the planet. And so that's, you know, how I became a nutritionist, a naturopath, et cetera.
Wow. You know, sometimes we have to get banged across the head to realize our what we're here for. But yeah, I mean, obviously that was the precursor for your career in which you'll be able to help many people. So we hear a lot about Candida. I know a certain amount about it. I know there was a time, and back when the Yeast Connection book came out, I remember everybody was being told that they had Candida, and that was the basis of everything. That wasn't necessarily true, but because of the overuse of all the antibiotics for years and years that our generation has experienced, many of us did have that overgrowth. So what is Candida fungus?
It's simply a yeast. It starts as a single-celled yeast. It's ubiquitous. It lives in male, female, child. The majority of it resides in the large intestine, but it lives everywhere on the skin, et cetera, on the mucosal membranes. And as long as everything's balanced, you're fine. It's part of that microbiome that we start hearing now about the gut, and that, you know, you want to have 85% good bacteria, 15% not so good. But because of the overuse of antibiotics, steroids, birth control, hormone replacement, sugar stress, it's very easy to get yeast out of balance, and it only takes one dose of antibiotics in someone's lifetime. So it could be seven, have strep throat. You take antibiotics, it wipes out good and bad bacteria because it can't distinguish, and then the yeast starts to multiply because what it does is it starts to feed off everything that turns into sugar. So if you're having cheeses and breads and wine, which is liquid sugar, and you have high amounts of stress, which will elevate cortisol, which also raises insulin and blood sugar. So what happens is this starts to grow over a period of time and change into a root fungal form, and then it can burrow out of the intestinal tract known as leaky gut, very common term we're hearing now. And when the yeast and fungus gets into the bloodstream, it's not the yeast itself that does the damage, it's the byproducts. Those mycotoxins start to destroy tissues and organs, and they'll go where you're most vulnerable. So mild cases can be, you know, you start to have fatigue and brain fog. You can have GI symptoms such as gas, bloating, but a lot of people who are loaded with candida never have issues with their gut, and people go, oh, that's a female thing. They have vaginal yeast infection. You can be loaded with fungus and never have that. For males, it likes to reside in the prostate, jock itch, sinus issues, eczema, toenail fungus. And so it keeps growing until you become aware of it. And I think it's the baseline for so many conditions, particularly autoimmune. I think it's the root cause, no pun intended. But, you know, and it's something that we're still, there's no foolproof test. That's why it's still not getting the recognition. But because the science is all around the gut, I feel like within the next year or so, we're going to start talking about yeast a lot more.
Okay, so in order to remove this from the body, does it just, if we just don't feed it, is that how it dies off? Or is there like an initial medication or, like you said, you know, antifungal or something like that to take to clear it up?
It's a two-prong approach. If you have to realize people have been on the planet 30, 40, 50 years. So when you start pulling the foods that the yeast thrive, which are going to be, you know, the dairy, the gluten, the sugar, the alcohol, corn, when you subtract that, you're not feeding the fungus, but you also have to deal with those years of history. So I love to work with herbal antimicrobials. I have one Candida ABX. There's also Candida Cleanse by Rainbow Light. There's many on the market because I don't feel medication are needed unless it's a very tough chronic case, and mine was. So, and the nice thing about using herbal antifungals is they're broad spectrum. So you're going to usually in an environment with yeast, you're going to have parasites. You might have other funky bacteria. So this way you're dealing with the gut as a whole, and it moves swiftly. So I feel, you know, I put people on a 90-day program. The average person who has mild to moderate to maybe a little bit of more of the intense case of candida, 90 days will do the trick, and then you're educated. And then hopefully you'll go not back to your crazy ways, but, you know, maybe 80% of the week you're eating an expanded anti-candida diet, and then once or twice a week indulge. I'm not looking for perfection, but during that time when you're cleansing and during that period, I also decongest people's liver, gallbladder. I balance their blood sugar and adrenals, and I clean out the lymph and the bloodstream because it's a package in which I figured how to swiftly get the body to hit the reset button. That innate intelligence is there. It's just doing a seven-day juice fast is not going to cut the type of history and stress that people have gone through.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Now, when the yeast, if you have a huge, you know, a really advanced case of yeast overgrowth, when those yeasts start to die off, does that create toxins in the body?
Sure does. And so that's why people will usually feel worse before they feel better initially. But the way that I like to start people is, here's 101. You have to eliminate your bowels daily. Don't even attempt to take antifungals or anything unless you get that on track. And the fact is you need to be moving your bowels every day. People, particularly women, will go, you know, one every 3 days, sometimes even once a week. That's not normal. Your physicians will say, oh, that's just your rhythm. It's not. You need to have a transit time of 24 hours. So you can use things like magnesium citrate or triphala, which is an Ayurvedic blend. If you need stronger things, you can use aloe. There's certain resins that you can use for that, but you need to get the elimination going. And particularly in my book, I stress that when you're using the detoxification supplements, because I start with supporting the gallbladder the first month and the antifungal and red clover. Red clover is a tea that I have that cleans the blood and the lymph. You start slowly. You don't jump into three capsules the first day. You start with one of each and wait 3 to 4 days and then work up. I'm assertive. I'm not aggressive. I don't think you need to push the body. And you want to make sure that you're supporting all your elimination pathways so that your ride is as smooth as possible.
Okay. I like that approach. I really do. The one thing that I think even those of us who are aware of candida and what it can do to the body, very few of us, I think, are aware of its relationship to mental illness. So I think we should talk about that. What are some of the symptoms that these toxins can cause?
Well, I think what happens is when you start to get the dysbiosis, which is the imbalance of good to bad bacteria in the gut, you start to alter all types of things. I mean, we now know 90-95% of serotonin is made in the gut. So right there, you're going to feel things like lethargy, depression, brain fog, et cetera. So what the connection I have found with mental illness, and I kept thinking this for years, and I'm thinking, why isn't anybody talking about this? But there's three factors, I think, that create this shift. The yeast toxins, which start to play, you know, change the chemistry and affect neurotransmitters. And then you've got hypoglycemia. This is such a pandemic thing, which is low blood sugar. And particularly when people are struggling with mental illness, they're usually gravitating to foods and drinks that are horrible for them, which is making their blood sugar high and low, which is going to affect the chemistry. And then severe vitamin mineral deficiencies for the same reason, because they're not eating usually a balanced diet. The yeast is overgrowing. So I find that if you tackled it from balancing the blood sugar, getting some vitamin and minerals, particularly B vitamins, magnesium, just even a good multivitamin will have all of that, and then getting the gut in balance, that will do wonders, because so many people today are now coming in not just with an autoimmune or they have sinus issues, but the majority of people I'm seeing are anxious, depressed, or suffering with something more severe. And when I get their physiology in balance, then it's very easier. It's much easier to deal with the psychology of what might be left that's trauma-based from, you know, great being their childhood, et cetera.
Okay. Okay. Wow. That's really fascinating. But it does make sense to me. And you actually, you said that even things like schizophrenia and bipolar, which are not necessarily easy illnesses to treat, would they go away or would they just be minimized or reduced, the symptoms be reduced?
I think the potential there is that they could go away. I think that the thing is you've got to be able to house someone with schizophrenia in the sense that you're feeding them what they want, because it's very hard when someone's already in that space to be able then to stick to something such as what we're talking about. So if it's monitored in that way, because, you know, food is chemistry. And so it's when you start to get the baseline of, I also like to work with amino acids. Those are the, when you break down proteins from eating chicken, you know, fish and beef, these are the precursors to making dopamine, serotonin, GABA, et cetera. And when you can supply that, I think so much of what you'd see is full recovery. And like I said, some of them are very intense cases where at least then it's easier to tackle the psychology and make it a win-win all the way around. But, you know, when I look at things like the tragedies going on in the world with school shootings, this and that, I can guarantee they're on usually more than one psychotropic medication or antidepressant. And if I were to really spend time with that person, I could find these common denominators we just spoke about being out of balance. And I think this needs to be more of a baseline in how you get people with mental illness well. And it needs to be talked about, because I think it's still, we don't do enough in this area.
No, we really don't. You know, and like I said, you know, people hear about this, but they really don't understand it. So your work is so important. You know, you have the title of CNC behind your name. What is CNC?
It's Certified Clinical Nutritionist, so it's a nutritional consultant. So,
okay,
and I'm
perfect.
Kind of eclectic. I'm a naturopath, a nutritionist, an iridologist. I just found I love to study, I love to learn, and I just kind of took from all the modalities and then kind of created myself in essence. And I want to make one other point about the schizophrenia that I'm redoing one of my books, and we looked for some science, and it just came out about the connection with schizophrenia and bipolar, and that yeast is the cause. So we're getting right there. We're starting to open this can of worms and realizing that the gut is connected to so many things that we just didn't pay attention to.
I love it. I think this is great. This is really awesome work. Okay, so now let's talk about its relationship to MS. Do you feel that this is largely responsible for the epidemic of MS as well?
I do. I think there's a few factors. I think one is you have to understand that every condition is accelerating right now because the environmental toxic load is so high, what's in our food, air, water. I'm not seeing people with just one autoimmune condition. They're coming with two and three, and even cancer on top of it. The rates right now are one out of two with cancer in this country, and about one out of, I'd say, five to seven with an autoimmune, and one out of six over 60 have Alzheimer's. This is a time when we have to have more personal accountability in making better choices because the environment has added to this. I still feel, whether it's MS or any autoimmune, that the fungal toxins are the root cause that are really, you know, it'll, depending on genetics, you know, yeast overgrowth and those toxins will go where you're most vulnerable. So for some, it's going to attack the central nervous system as an MS. Some it'll go to, you know, it might be the skin and its psoriasis. Others it might be lupus, et cetera. So it's determined based on more of your history and past. But I feel that this is something that's still not given enough attention, And then you could look at variables such as heavy metals, because we're grabbing this from everything from amalgam fillings to mercury in the fish to herbicides, pesticides, and then the stress load. I mean, that's the other big cofactor here. People have stress. You need some stress to get out of bed, but people are not neutralizing it well enough, and so it's created more of an epidemic of insomnia. And if you don't sleep at least 6 to 8 hours, quality sleep, you're not going to have a healthy immune system. It's going to wear you down very quickly. So I think it's coming in from a different causes, but the one that's most grossly ignored, I still feel, is candida and fungus.
Okay. So say we, okay, so we know that that sugar and anything that turns to sugar in the body, which would be grains and those kind of things, gluten kind of grains. What was I going to say?
We can make it up.
I love, you know how you lose your train of thought.
Yeah.
Okay, and now I got it. I got it back.
Okay.
So what about artificial sweeteners? Where does that have a place in this?
I don't like artificial sweeteners at all. I think it's actually better to have the sugar than have that, because these things really are neurotoxins. And may disrupt, I see a lot of connection with things like Parkinson's and more neurological disorders when you're using the artificial sweeteners. The better choices that I allow in my program when people are doing this are stevia, which is an herb, monk fruit or lohan, it's a fruit extract. Xylitol is not an artificial sweetener, it's a sugar alcohol, so I do allow small amounts of that because it's still a carbohydrate, and if you OD in a bunch of carbohydrates, you'll feed yeast. And then chicory root, which is a root, and so those are better sweeteners because people think, oh, if I just get off white sugar, I'll be fine, and I can do agave and maple syrup and honey and coconut sugar. But unfortunately, all of these things will still feed infection, whether it's parasites, bacteria, or yeast. So you need to pull off those too, and even fruit is restricted more the first couple months because sugar is sugar, and we are a nation who are probably ingesting over 200 pounds of sugar a year. So
wow.
We really need to be more conscious of that. And I'm someone who is not opposed to all grains. I just like to pull the wheat, more of the gluten grains such as wheat, barley, rye. I do allow things such as quinoa, oats after a couple months, brown rice. Actually, wild rice is a much better choice because it's a grass versus a grain. Amaranth, buckwheat, those are better choices. Some individuals are becoming grain sensitive, and I think so much of this has to do with the genetically modified foods. We are putting not just chemicals, but strains of things that's really altering our DNA. And so I'm seeing many more food sensitivities than I've ever seen before. And I have my work cut out for me because sometimes the normal protocol isn't getting in there and doing the job. And so I'm still in this discovery phase because the chemical load is so high. And we're playing with things that we just, science isn't caught up to knowing what these GMOs do to our body.
Well, yeah, we are in a very toxic environment. It's really hard to control it. And the average person, you know, I try to do as much organic as I can, but the average person can't afford it. It's not necessarily readily available in the, you know, in the mainstream grocery stores. And if it is, it's much more expensive. So if you can get to a Whole Foods or something like that, Whole Foods, you know, you can find it more affordably. But, yeah, it's frustrating. You know, I live in South Florida, and the major grocery chain in this area is Publix. And they've had these blueberries on sale, and the blueberries have been absolutely wonderful. They're big, and they're crunchy, and they're delicious. You know, my son came over, and he goes, oh, my God, if that isn't a GMO food, I don't know what it is, because they were so perfect and big.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really grow like that, you know.
They don't, but I have a suggestion for people who are struggling with just saying, okay, it's too expensive, I can't do that. Very simple things can help the body along because it's about the immune tolerance, and that toxic load for everybody's body is different. So someone might be able to sustain a lot more mercury in the body and not be symptomatic to someone who has very little and has autoimmune issues. So a couple of simple tricks would be just doing hot water and fresh lemon in the morning. That just really helps the kidneys, which is one of your main filtration systems. Another thing would be to incorporate things such as the culinary herbs are the best to move about heavy metals and toxicity. So using more cilantro, parsley. I also love watercress. Watercress is one of my favorite things. A lot of people are doing smoothies now. And watercress is very astringent in pulling toxins out. And just even the whole field of the dark leafy greens. So, and of course, hydrating, because most people don't drink water. They're drinking caffeine. And they're doing way too much, which, you know, coffee is the most chemically treated food product in the world. Decaffeinated coffee is even worse. It's like drinking dry cleaning fluid, unless it's with water process. So I would suggest that I like white tea. White tea is unfermented green tea, and it's lower caffeine, and it's one of the best things to move free radicals out of the body. So these are some simple, inexpensive ways to kind of step into moving some of these toxins out that we're accumulating.
Okay, I'm actually taking notes here because I know I can listen to the show again, as can all my listeners, but I like to take notes. So tell us about your cookbook.
I love the cookbook. This was a labor that of passion that came from many years of looking for a chef that I could collaborate with. And also, Alison Charbonneau was wonderful. And it was, you know, people had asked me for years, they're like, all right, I can do this, but I'd love to have more recipes. And, you know, if I can't do corn, I can't do wheat, how do you make this, how do you make that? And because we've come into the gluten-free era, we've created things like almond flour, coconut flour, we have coconut aminos. And I really just took my time and thought about, I don't like food boring. So when people think of anti-candida, they're like, oh, I don't want to just eat chicken every night and nothing on it. So I really thought about what would be some great dips and sauces and different breakfasts because people don't want to eat eggs every morning or just have them scrambled. I thought about everything from snacks and desserts. So it's really, it's beautiful. It's four color. I actually had fun because I got to work with the photographer and do the food styling. So it was a very creative process. But I find people are, you know, I continue to get comments. It came out March of last year. And even if you're not a cook, there are a few, two, three recipes out of that might get you through the week because people go, oh, my God, I can't do this program because I have to prep and I don't have the time. It's not like that. I have many people who never cook at home, and also if they make two or three things out of there, it might satisfy them. So if they made like the garlic, paleo garlic rosemary bread, because people don't think they get bread on an anti-candida diet, they can make a batch, freeze it, bring it to work, you know, reheat it and put some ghee, which is clarified butter or butter, almond butter on that. I also have one of the things I love is the breakfast quiche because you can make a batch of that and that's really easy to heat up quickly in the morning before you go out because I know people are limited with their time. So what I want to say is by doing this program, you won't feel deprived. And I also want to just kind of twist and reframe that because I don't think when you're pulling certain foods from this, if you think deprivation, you're likely not going to stick to it. I say take it 30 days at a time and remember what you're doing is removing infection and inflammation in the body. And here's why this is important. Everybody wants quality aging. And even though we have a spiritual body, we have an emotional body, we have a physical body. And if you don't take care of that carnal house, it will collapse. So just minor things, any intention towards going in this way, because for those that go, oh, this is a lot to take in, I say just start with maybe 1 month. Remove the dairy and gluten, see how you feel. Then from there, maybe you add in taking out the sugar, et cetera. So there's no perfection in doing this program, but there's a lot of choices now with the cookbook because now we've just got all these other ingredients to make it fun and exciting to make things tasty so that you can stick to it.
Sounds great. Are there recipes for vegans?
There are. There's some vegan sunburgers and some of the other dips and sauces. So if you're a vegetarian, if you're a vegan, you're paleo, there's something for everybody in there. And I had that in mind, too, because I know that's where everybody's going off into little tangents. So it really is, there's nothing missed, particularly because people wanted bread and they wanted dessert. And there are actually some really tasty things like the coconut muffins and there's, I think, paleo fudgy brownies in there. There's good stuff.
Oh, my gosh. That's wonderful. Okay. Sounds really great. I do want you to send me a copy.
I will make sure.
Yeah, I do. Is fibromyalgia affected by this, do you think?
Yes. I think that's one of the easiest conditions I deal with. The most challenging thing of fibromyalgia is that by the time they get to me, they're on a plethora of medication. So if you go at it and stay on an antifungal program for at least 6 months to 1 year, and then we obviously work with some supplementation, get you cleaned out, that is one of the swiftest moving or the easiest thing I can heal with. It's not really considered autoimmune, but I kind of put it in that category because of the chronicity of it. What I find is the challenge is the medication. So obviously I'm not an MD. I don't pull people off that, but as they feel better, they're able to titrate off because the endocrine system gets very affected and sleep. And, you know, then there's all this that you have to work with. And that's really the length of time. When I deal with more chronic cases, it's dealing with the side effects of the medication to then get the chemistry back into balance.
Right.
So many
right.
good things you can do with fibromyalgia.
Okay, that's great. And so let's talk a little bit about probiotics. So if we take a probiotic every day, is that going to help us?
It is. It's, you know, I tell people that any way you can give some attention to the gut, you're going to feel better. So I'm someone who feels we need to go a little stronger, and I recommend more herbal antifungals lifetime. But if someone has a very pristine diet, then I think probiotics are sufficient and sometimes not even necessary. I take probiotics probably a bottle 3 times a year. I want to be a little bit more secure in just keeping the antimicrobials in, so I will use my product, Candida ABX, for maybe 6 months, and then I switch to another one like Candida Cleanse for a month or two and then go back into mine so I don't become immune. But I think that the gut needs to be protected. People talk a lot about fermented foods, and I'm just going to give you my take on this. A lot of those store-bought fermented foods, whether it be the kefir or the sauerkraut, et cetera, sometimes they're not using the best ingredients. And things like kombucha are very popular. That's a drink with wild bacteria and yeast, and it has a small alcohol content. I'm not a fan of that drink at all. I think it really does aggravate the gut and yeast in a sense that yeast doesn't feed yeast, but it can aggravate it. And that's the same way I feel about fermented foods. I like them out for 90 days. And then you can introduce a clean sauerkraut, you know, better quality stuff that someone like Donna Gates, Body Ecology, because she's very much into candida and using fermented foods. That's a better source because sometimes, you know, we're just putting out products and they're not made the best way, such as everybody likes to do yogurt. And I'm like, well, that's not really great because one is there's not a lot of live bacteria and it's in a pasteurized milk base, which is going to feed yeast. So you have to do a little, you know, education in there.
Well, we really, you know, the public really is has been misled as to what it is they should be eating, really. You know, I mean, yogurt, everybody thinks you eat yogurt and it's going to help you. But, you know, and most of the yogurt out there is loaded with sugar.
It is. That's the problem. It's what's added in there. And if it's over, you know, 2-3 grams of sugar, then you're really not having something that's great for you. And, you know, if you're going to use probiotics, because there are times I use it, particularly if someone's severely constipated and maybe the magnesium is not doing it, a probiotic will do the trick. Look for something that's dairy-free and has multiple strains of lactobacillus and the bifidum family, so more strains. Like Renew Life is a company that's retail out there. She has Ultimate Flora. There's different strains, whether it's 30 billion, 50, but she uses more strains, Brenda Watson. It's better to have that if someone's really experiencing a lot of discomfort when they're taking the probiotics. That usually is a good sign that they're having dysbiosis, that the gut really needs a deeper, you know, we need to go deeper in cleansing the system out because they're dealing with some bacterial overgrowth and probably candida. So you want to go a little deeper than if you don't agree with the probiotics.
Good advice. Yeah, you talked about some products and you said your products. Are you putting together your own formulas?
I work with a manufacturer, and I came up with a line of supplementation that goes with the Candida Cure or the Healing MS book or even the Candida Cure cookbook if you go to my website. It's the more baseline. Things such as vitamin E and C, other things I recommend in my books, I give you brands that you can save money on, buy to cost, Amazon, that are quality. But I came up with an herbal antimicrobial, and then I work with a gallbladder formula the first month, liver formula the second. And one of my favorites is the GlucoABX. This is the formula I use, so it doesn't feel like willpower to stay off these foods initially. The only reason people crave sugars and carbs is because the yeast is screaming, feed me. So when you put in Candida ABX and knock out the critters, as I call them, and I come in with GlucoABX, which will balance blood sugar and adrenal function, you don't have the cravings. So it's actually easier than you ever thought. I have a lot of sugar addicts in my office. And then I have adrenal formulas for the second month and RepairVite, which is a nice powder that seals up the leaky gut. So I took the primary things that I needed the first, 30, 60, 90 days to have swift chemistry changes. And then I educate you on how to add your multi and all your baseline and your fish oils and all those. Those aren't in my line. Those are generic things. I tell you what brands to use.
Okay. Okay, good. Yeah, I'm going to talk more personally about the Candida ABX and the GlucoABX because I struggle with cravings, sugar cravings, and I'd like to get rid of them.
And you can, and that's really, it's coming down to, as I said, more of the yeast, and it's screaming out to feed me. And when the blood sugar's in balance, that's why we go to the caffeine and sugar all day, is, we're getting into, just having those highs and lows, and we're looking for the quick fix and to be able to do that. But when you neutralize and you get that blood chemistry balanced, and in the GlucoABX, I've got some glandulars that are in there, and there's some vitamins and chromium, et cetera. And those are the things that will start to balance it out along with the antifungals. Time and time again, I find that that's the beautiful thing is when I get a sugar addict and they're like, I don't know. They're like, this was the easiest thing I've done. Maybe the first week is the toughest time because you're cleaning out, the chemistry is going through some changes. But after that, it's not as challenging as you think. And that's because we haven't been educated about how the body really works and what does it need to get back in balance. Because it's not normal that we have those kind of cravings. I remember me as a kid. I was up, thank God at that time kids played outside instead of on their computers and their gadgets. But, I was up and down and up and down. I'd come in and I'd eat more sugar. I'd go run around, play some more. And then I would just crash and burn at night. But if I look back, it was kind of intense on how much I ingested and what I was dealing with. But no one knew any of this then. You know what I mean?
No, of course not. Of course not. They didn't know a lot.
No.
Okay, so, we're about 37 minutes into the show. So can you take about 3 minutes? And maybe there's something that, I haven't brought up that you think is real important to tell the listeners.
I think, what I want to say most is that I want people to really age with quality because I feel that without your health, you have nothing. And I feel everybody has a purpose and a passion here. And so one of the beautiful things about why I love my work is I don't just see people get healthy, but then they have the energy, the clarity, the focus to do what it is they want to do. And by doing your purpose and your passion, you are contributing to the planet. And so I encourage you to take baby steps into starting to make a difference in your taking care of your body because you need to honor that. The more you honor yourself on all levels, the happier you will be in life. And so I'm not asking for perfectionism. And jumping into the Candida Cure program might be a lot for some, but I would say start to become more conscious and mindful of what you're ingesting. Not obsessive, just mindful. So if you can buy organic, then try to do that when you can, particularly if something's exposed, such as broccoli, any Brussels sprouts, anything that's exposed to skin that you're going to eat, really try to get those things organic. And do an experiment. If you really pull dairy, except you can do butter, ghee, which is clarified butter, and substitute out for unsweetened almond, coconut, or hemp milk, get off the dairy and the gluten for 1 month, and I can guarantee that you're going to see inches go off, you're going to be clearer, less pain in the body, and just do that little experiment. Because once you start to clean out, and you can go as slowly as you do, you're going to not only feel healthier and more energetic, but you become educated. People think that after they do a program such as mine, they go, oh, my God, I did your program, and then I can't have wine now, I get a headache, this and that. I said, it's not that you became more sensitive. It's that you're now finally listening to what your body's been telling you all along. Mm. Because if you clean out just 3 weeks of doing my program, and you put something in that your body doesn't like, it will scream at you. And so what you want to do is just pay attention to those three or four loud triggers and probably not do them at all, because everybody's chemistry is going to be different of what they can get away with. But I feel that this is a time when we're living in challenging times and people need their clarity, they need their energy, they need to sleep well. And taking care and honoring your body is one of the most amazing things that you can do. So that's really my message, is that this doesn't have to feel like deprivation. It doesn't have to feel like it's a diet. It's more switch your perception into wanting to, in choosing to know that inflammation is the cause of all disease. And that at your fingertips right now, you can make a difference into feeling better. And it's not difficult. So you start slowly and then you build up there. And as you get educated, you create a new lifestyle. I don't feel I'm on a diet. I just live a different lifestyle. And I'm 51 and I can keep up with most 20-year-olds. I don't do caffeine. I hardly take a lot of supplements. I don't need it. And so the key is, it's just a lifestyle change in which I want to do as much as I came here to do.
So now we're all really excited about the Candida Cure Cookbook. How do we get it?
You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's pretty much everywhere. If you go to my website, annebaroque.com, it'll link you to there. Plus, there's a lot of information. I give you a lot of education on my website. So those, every retail that sells books pretty much has it. And, yes, thank you.
Yeah, and Baroque is spelled B-R. B-O, I'm sorry, N-A-N-N-B-O-R-O-C-H, just so you won't be looking up the word Baroque, like, the period of time. Okay. Well, Anne, it's been such a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, my ears are perked. I am, very excited about what you had to share. I can actually apply lots of this to my own life, and I will be talking to you about that. But thank you so much for the work that you're doing and for coming on my show and sharing this incredible knowledge. Now, you said that your website is annebaroque.com, so if people want to consult with you, they will find you that way?
Absolutely. And so what I do is I do everything from half-an-hour sessions to full sessions in office in Manhattan or Skype around the world, wherever you're at.
Perfect. Okay. Well, that counts all of us in. Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks again so much. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Okay. Take care. Stay warm.
You too.
You're in New York?
Yes, it's been freezing.
Thank you. My daughter lives there.
Florida, right?
Yeah, stay warm and dry.
All
right. Take care. It's been great. Thank you. So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments about today's show or questions, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is RANDIGFINE.com. Let's see, my show on Friday, which is January 13th, this Friday, is my show where I take your calls and answer your questions about narcissistic abuse issues. So if you have questions for me, you will want to call in and use that time to get your questions answered. That will be 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and the number is 424-220-1801 that you will use to call in. And if you want to send me a letter ahead of time, you can do that at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your talk radio show host, author, life issues counselor, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.